Hi there, Neil here. Obviously, you love to travel. That's why you're listening to this podcast. Circa, our app, available right now from the App Store on iOS, is filled with podcasts and guides for travelers. But more than that, it has a feature that we're calling the Circa Concierge, where you can have any question about any place you're traveling answered by real people on the ground. We're giving you a friend to ask anywhere in the world. And hey, if you've got questions about Barcelona, you might even get me. Because I love to help people discover my city. And if you're the same way for the city where you live, then we want you to become part of the Circa Concierge too. Right now, we're searching for concierges in Barcelona, Rome, London, Paris, Madrid, Venice, and New York City. Don't see your city listed? That's okay. We'll be rolling out new cities throughout the year, and yours might just be next. If you love where you live and love to help travelers, sign up now to be a Circa Concierge. Help out our users and earn tips for the knowledge you have about your own city or country. Head over to circatravel.com/concierge and sign up today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Circa.
Love the world you live in, and we'll help you explore it.
Here's something weird. I don't know if you're going to find this offensive or not.
Nice opening.
Because I think it's a place that both me and Andres have never been.
Oh, you haven't?
But then no. I had to be reminded by my girlfriend today that we went to Stockholm for a week together. I forgot.
It's because you're stupid.
Toma.
I mean, I forgot.
That's amazing. Yeah.
There are things we think we know about places, but history, prejudice, stereotypes, and the viral nature of 24-hour news and social media has made common knowledge about faraway places more twisted than ever.
Today on Misinformation, we try and clear up some of the outright lies, mistakes, myths, and misnomers of an entire country by doing what we do best, by having a chat with someone who actually knows what they're talking about.
So drop your IKEA Allen key, put on your warmest, most fashionable outdoorsy threads, and fill up on some delicious meatballs. Because today, we're going to the Nordic utopia of Sweden.
I'm definitely going to use that.
Sweden.
Bordering Finland and Norway and connected to Denmark by the longest bridge in Europe, Sweden is mostly dominated by rivers and lakes. More than half of the country is covered by forest. It's a place filled with natural beauty and natural beauties.
And it just so happens that today we meet one of them, Johan Svensson. How do you say your name?
Johan.
And your last name?
Johan.
No, Johan.
Svensson. Johan Svensson.
Johan Svensson.
John.
John.
That's more like a porn star name. I wasn't supposed to tell you about that part of my life. The John part.
Johan is an interior designer, set designer. He's the owner and curator of Fab Lab, selling selected home decor, perfume, and skincare in beautiful Stockholm. Johan also is a co-star of the upcoming Peacock original series called The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning, set to be released on April 27th.
We'll get to that a little later, but first we want to know all about Johan. And what does he think we're going to ask him about today?
Well, that's so lazy.
We are quite lazy.
Never looked at it like that. Holy shit, you're right. So we'll just read your list and then that's the end of the show.
So we really didn't have to hunt that far to find the number one Swedish stereotype. It's this. Swedes, they're kind of hard to get to know.
I'm actually a bit not that aware actually about how Sweden and the culture is perceived in a way. I mean, I have some foreign friends living in Stockholm because it's a city with a lot of different nationalities.
Sure.
And sometimes we're accused of being a people with autism.
generally. A nation of autism.
Do you feel there's any truth to that?
Well, in a way, yes. I think it's a small country, second or third generations of farmers, and I think it's a different way of interacting socially, and people are in a bit kind of shy, and it can sometimes come across as rude, I think. People are very clicky, they hang out with their friends, you know, from their born, you know, right. until death. So it's really hard to get into a circle. I mean, even my friend Tiff, she's from Australia, and she was introduced to me. It took me 2 years before I had a coffee with her. I was busy.
So it would seem as if Sweden has its own set of social rules. It may feel very complex to an outsider, and maybe even a little standoffish or cruel. Last year, in 2022, a Twitter hashtag went viral. Hashtag Swedengate.
A story was posted on Reddit where someone described being a guest at the house of a Swedish friend who was left in another room while the family ate dinner, as he was not technically invited to eat.
And then Swedes around the world confirmed that there was really nothing strange about this, and hospitable nations of the world lost their minds.
If someone has like arranged a dinner party or something, it's not that you can just like bring a friend. Mm. You know, you even have to like ask if you can bring your partner or something if that hasn't specifically been said.
Wow.
The spontaneous answer is not like, oh yes, of course. It's easy peasy. You know, it's more like who's that? You know, who's he? You know, why?
Can you send me a background check of some sort?
Almost. Yeah, it's kind of very suspicious. And a lot of times the answer is actually no.
Wow. Whoa. Straight up.
Yeah, to bring someone.
Well, that is it's the thing at the top of our list, actually, which is the internet, the best source of anything
best
that we have.
Best source for lazy researchers.
Damn, he's coming after us.
I know.
He's totally like
I'm going to about to tell him that ChatGTP wrote all of these questions.
So as you might have noticed, Sweden is incredibly direct. They may not suffer fools gladly, but they do have a sly sense of humor. And won't think twice about giving you a little slap on the wrist for your social faux pas. But they don't like to rock the boat too much. Is the Swedish directness about like, oh, you have something on your face? Or is it more like, oh, your voice is annoying?
Oh, that's difficult to explain because right. I haven't been the target of
target of Swedish directness.
Of that candid. No, yeah.
No, right. No one goes after you, Ewan.
No, exactly. So, yeah.
The culture seems to be entrenched in kind of an egalitarian sensibility in all ways of life, including fashion.
Interesting, because we have a very egalitarian society. You know, mm-hmm. It's been socialist for thousands of years. So it's interesting with that because chief editor of one of the female fashion magazines, and she said that Swedish people don't like to stand out, but they like to be part of an elegant crowd.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it's true. The thing is that when I was living in London for a while, that was like a few years ago, I could spot Swedish girls immediately.
I can do that.
It's not just like being blonde, but all of them had like a, in different variation, like a beige trench coat, black tights, white sneakers, maybe a cap on. I'm sure they all, you know, thought they were very individualistic in their choices. But, you know, so it's like looking at, you know, like a group of birds, you know, wandering around looking for the prey, you know, it's like.
Well, speaking of stereotypes of Swedish women, here we go.
So there's this, I don't know if you're aware of this. So we're in Spain, right? And yeah, Spain has this kind of relationship with the Swedish woman from the 70s. Like when Spain was still in a dictatorship, Swedish women would come down to the coast and go to the beach. And there's songs written about Swedish women. They're sexually liberated, these beautiful blonde women.
Yeah. At that time, it was not really true, but it had to do with, I think, the politics. Mm. I don't think you would get far with that approach if you were here.
Right.
Right.
And these things, you know, also culturally, it's just something you know in a way. What's not supposed to be there in a certain context. And I think that's hard to follow for a lot of people.
How to read the room, how to read a Swedish room.
How to read a room, yeah. Yeah. Just be quiet and back off.
That's the Swedish goodbye.
Goodbye.
So next time you see Anita Ekberg frolicking in the Trevi Fountain in a black dress, just back off.
And if you didn't catch that reference, do yourself a favor. Google it. So, from one icon to another. The humble Volvo. The safest car in the world. A stalwart of Swedish engineering. Every second car on the road in Sweden must be a Volvo, right?
What model Volvo do you have?
Oh, the fun thing is that I actually rented a Volvo with an app today.
Awesome. I thought you were going to tell me I've never had a Volvo in my life. And
no, but I never
I
had a Volvo.
I actually got one today. So
As soon as like in American movies and even in UK, I think, when a character is casted maybe to be an intellectual, a bit odd or, you know, then they're always driving a Volvo or a Saab.
And they have a certain type of sweater.
You know, it's kind of, because it's not like a common car. So it's, but it's kind of weird.
So when,
but it's fun.
When I was growing up, I grew up in Bolivia. My dad was a doctor. And the car he had in the 80s was a Volvo. And I remember.
Was it the station wagon?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I love those ones.
Exactly. I was obsessed with the headrest.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid being like, there's no other car that has this.
Volvo's reputation for design in safety especially has made it one of the most beloved car brands in the world. They invented the three-point seatbelt, the rear-facing child seat, the side impact and whiplash protection cages, and in 2020, they capped every single one of their car's speed limits to 110 miles per hour.
So clearly, Swedes are obsessed with design, caution, and innovation.
Well, in a way, yes. I would say, I mean, I'm a snob, so I would say that the Danes are better. but I think Sweden is like the DJ land. We like, you know, we know how to edit and how to, you know, we copied this and we did like a new version. We made it better. So Swedish people are very good at like refining other people's eccentric ideas and make them approachable.
Kind of like the Japan of Europe.
That's true, because there's been years of collaborations and between Japan and Sweden, also like culturally, you know, a cultural exchange, and there's even been like festivals around that. So there's a lot of like points in our cultures, that meeting points. So there's a beautiful bond between Japan and Sweden.
It's true. Japan and Sweden have over 150 years of friendship. The Vikings and the samurai. Shyness, social reserve, emotional strength, a world-beating hard work ethic, technological innovation. It's easy to see why the two nations see eye to eye.
The Swedes also have something which seems like a way of life, a philosophy, something almost ceremonial, something almost Japanese, but very, very Swedish. The fika. Have you done fika today?
Yes, always. I mean, I'm a coffee addict, and that's a core cultural thing, to fika. And it's also...
So it's a verb. You have two fika.
It's almost a verb. And it's also something that you do a lot with people that you meet. You know, let's have a... you don't say like, let's grab a coffee. We have a fika, and everybody knows what that is. It's super interesting in that sense that fika is a very way of meeting socially, more than meeting over wine or over a beer in the evening. There's also a way to, you know, get to know new people, having a fika in the afternoon, or, you know.
So if you were gonna take us out for fika, where would we go, and what would we have to do?
So if you were visiting, I think we would go to like a classical place, like a konditorie, which is like this old bakeries where you will have like some of the classical cakes and you know, desserts.
Second or third biggest consumers of coffee in Europe.
Isn't Finland number one?
Yeah, Finland's top. 7.5 kilograms of beans per person per year.
What
on average
are you talking about?
Coffee is like water for me. It's just brown water that I drink constantly.
Lush, large forests cover 55% of Sweden. There are over 100,000 lakes which dot the landscape. In those lakes sit 24,000 islands, and all are open to the public through Sweden's tradition of right to public access.
Everyone owns a summer country house, or knows someone who does. Those homes have often been in families for generations, so the surrounding nature is built into the Swedish way of life.
In fact, when we were talking to Johan, he was in his country house. Without exception, the Swedes are incredibly outdoorsy.
You're speaking to us from your cabin.
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys are all incredibly outdoorsy people. You're hiking. Half of your wardrobe is North Face.
You have no fear of rain.
Yep. A man of all seasons.
Should I just like confirm now, or is that...
I guess so.
Not misinformation. It's worth remembering that if you're visiting Sweden, you'll also be treated to over 100 ski resorts. And skiing is really a right as a Swede.
There's not a person in the country that hasn't hit the slopes at some point or another. And the egalitarian nature, which we've already talked about, means that skiing is a pastime for everyone, not just the rich.
I think about this Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, trial now that's been going on.
I'm glad we got there. I've been holding my tongue this whole time.
Oh, yes. And I actually, the thing is that I was in the Alps skiing in Austria, and the same thing happened to me.
It was Gwyneth Paltrow ran you down.
No, it was some retired optometrist.
But it was an older man who drove directly into me from behind. So it could have gone bad. And then his wife came from behind, and they were both like yelling at me like I did something wrong, because you have this kind of white, fat, entitled man who goes on skiing. And now when you have these carving skis, you think that you're all that, you know, going down the hills. And then I was Team Gwyneth from the beginning, you know.
What do you think she's going to do with that dollar?
Gwyneth.
Mm.
Whatever she wants. She handled that court case magnificently.
I got no beef with Gwyneth.
And I mean, didn't he go to like vacations, you know, afterwards?
Yeah.
And
he went skiing nine more times.
Yeah, exactly.
So hiking, skiing, outdoorsmanship. It's easy to believe that the Swedes are those perfect, beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed elves who never put a foot wrong. That they're health freaks. But Sweden loves to snus.
Snus. A tiny pouch of flake tobacco which you tuck under your lip for a long stroll down nicotine alley. About...
Sorry, it just happened.
I don't know what to do about that. It just happened.
I didn't ruin it.
I did it. I can do it again.
I didn't ruin it. That was something good.
About 12% of the country snoozes. But does Johan? What is snus?
Snus?
Yeah. Is this the tobacco stuff?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what the mix is because I've never done it. It's not my subject,
yeah,
really.
You don't strike me as someone who snoozes.
No.
You don't look like a snoozer.
No. Just look like a bitch.
A wonderful bitch.
It's a wonderful bitch. Johan. Our wonderful bitch. Hope he appreciates that.
I think so.
Let's get to this wider idea of Scandinavia. Denmark, Sweden, Norway, the perfect neighbors, right? Not bitches at all.
The Swedish relationship with your neighbors, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody, I think, has a feeling about Sweden, but do the Swedes have feelings about the Danes, for example, the Finns, the Norwegians?
Yeah, actually more like Norwegians, because Sweden and Norway has always been like the siblings, rival siblings.
So what is the stereotype of the Norwegians?
Being rivals in that sense. It's not so it was more like this silly jokes. Otherwise, I like Norwegians. I think they're like, they're kind of conservative, but it's a really beautiful country. And And Denmark is one of my favorite places. I love Copenhagen. It's one of my favorite cities.
Sweden is also part of something referred to as the NB8. The Nordic Baltic 8 is a regional co-op including Denmark, Estonia, Iceland, Latvia, Lithuania, Norway, Sweden, and Finland.
So why don't we kind of switch gears and look at the Swedish language a little bit.
The word Sweden in Swedish means our kingdom.
There are only about 10 million Swedish speakers in the world.
There is a closeness in the languages of the Scandinavian countries, so much so that they can understand or speak the other two countries' languages.
In Swedish, nouns come after the articles. So, for example, we say the dog. They say hunden, essentially dog the.
Almost without exception, the Swedes never say please, but they always say thank you.
Now get this. Swedish has only been the official language of Sweden since 2009. In fact, it was an official language of Finland before it was an official language of Sweden.
Most incredibly, perhaps, Swedish has 9 vowels.
Why don't you do them, Neil?
I shall. A, E, I, O, U, O, L, W, O, S, L.
So accurate.
13. That was 13.
I have to say, yeah. I fancy myself someone who can do accents relatively, but the Swedish accent is really tricky to do it properly.
Yeah. The Swedish language is also added a certain type of softness, so it's hard to explore it because, you know, everybody can mimic an Italian or, you know, because you have this really clear way of talking. And so I think that's why you have the Swedish chef that people like ridicule it with. Yeah, exactly.
Which is
exactly.
Not
yeah,
very
true.
Accurate.
Yeah.
No.
So here's a question for you, Johan. Is Swedish a sexy language?
God.
It is when I do it.
Yeah, if you think when the doctor is examining you, if that's sexy, then it's a sexy language.
Oh, that's the benchmark. Yeah. I love that. If a doctor's telling you have a serious problem and you're still like ooh, oof, oof, then that's a sexy language.
That's good. Yeah. I like that as a
soft and instructional. If you like soft, instructions, that's the kind of vibe.
I'd like for some hard instructions, please.
Then you go to Germany.
You gotta pay extra too.
Schnelle bitte, schnell.
What was the word? What's the word? Something.
Abgefummelt. One of my favorite German words. It means something that's been touched too much.
Oh.
Like a sofa.
Like your mother.
He didn't even pause.
He didn't even think about it. Yeah.
Margarita, the sweetest woman.
Yeah, he's right though.
Oh, Mom, I hope you don't listen to this.
So it felt like we were beginning to melt the iced heart of Yuan. There's no better way to know you've done that by being able to take a your mama joke like a champ. Well done, Dre and Yuan.
Imagine being only one of 10 million Swedes.
But 10 million people with a rich heritage.
An incredible history.
A country where the days of the week are named after Norse gods.
A country that implemented a gender-neutral pronoun in 1966.
A country that has done so much, But to the world, you are nothing more than the joyous, perfect pop music of ABBA. Something surely even the Swedes are tired of.
No, I love ABBA.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it's my parents' generation who grew up when they were like a controversy because they were like shallow, commercial and all that shit. But everybody else, I think we just adore it. And the thing is that it's a great songbook almost, because I see a lot of times from clubs all over the world, you know, on Instagram, on TikTok, it's something that still a lot of like people dance to, the original. It's not even remixed, you know, and it evokes a feeling to people on the dance floor. I think it's so cool in a way.
Well, I mean, I've really grown to like ABBA. It's taken me a long time. I mean,
I'm sophisticated now.
Hearing Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon in The Trip talk about Dancing Queen for 15 minutes and about how it's all about death. It's the like the musical equivalent of It's a Wonderful Life, imagining what your life would be with you not around. And I was just kind of like, that's what Dancing Queen's about.
Absolutely.
And I listen to it again. I'm like, oh my God.
I love ABBA. I'm a slut for pop.
You're a slut, an ABBA slut.
I'm a slut for pop.
Are you an ABBA slut?
Yeah, this is a pop slut.
Yeah, I'm a pop slut.
Pop slut.
I have my pop slut moments.
I mean, we all do. But music in Sweden and from Sweden is now a massive industry. Why don't you tell them about it, Neil?
Robin, Ghost, Leon, Swedish House Mafia, ABBA, The Hives, The Cardigans, and Max Martin, who alone has produced music for the Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, Pink, Usher, Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande, The Weeknd, Coldplay, Jennifer Lopez, and Ed Sheeran.
It's crazy.
It makes me really proud. Every time I've been traveling, going out dancing, and I remember like last year when I was in LA, I went to a gay club. 80% was like
Swedish
DJ, music. Yeah. And if it, because I'm a bit nerdy, so of course I know the other thing, that it was produced by, you know, a Swedish person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course we have one of the biggest names in Sweden, it's Max Martin. I mean, he's probably paying tax for the whole country, you know, to the welfare. But I think that's super interesting in that sense.
It's something that I can't quite get my head around. Like, I understand Brazil, I understand like Cuba, even Puerto Rico, like all this stuff. But what is it in a place like Sweden that just produces this insane amount of music?
Music is a part of the culture. Mm. I mean, we sing together around the table, you know, at all these kind of traditional locations. There's also one part of the school system that you actually get music lessons for free. The music school, it's called. So I mean, even when I was a kid, I was, you know, learning guitar. You know, you could choose instruments, or you know, there's a lot of music in the country.
All right, guys, hang tight. We'll be right back after this quick break with food, the Eurovision Song Contest, and the art of Swedish death cleaning, and so, so much more.
Oh, and also a quick reminder before we go to a break, head over to the App Store to download the Circa app on iOS. Every episode of Misinformation and Passport are there, as well as tons of other travel shows and our beautiful guide series. There's extra features such as maps, favorites, photos, plus an incredible concierge service to connect you with local people on the ground to answer your questions in real life and in real time, wherever you want to travel.
We'll be right back in a minute.
Hi, everyone. Circa is recruiting new concierges. A Circa concierge is a friend to ask anywhere in the world. Real people, on the ground, never bots. If you want to be a concierge for your city, go to circatravel.com to sign up.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
pickled herring, IKEA hot dogs, blood pudding, wild strawberries?
Swedish cuisine might not be exactly high on the list of culinary treasures to tickle the world's taste buds.
But as we do here on Misinformation, we like to expand our knowledge and our palate. So it's time for a food lesson in the chilly winds of the Swedish countryside with Johan.
Feed me, boys.
I'm ready.
Who gets number one?
That would be me. Number one, Swedish meatballs, a classic synonymous with the country. Kotbullar.
So what am I supposed to do now? Like correct your pronunciation?
I mean,
for people who don't know what we're talking about, what are we talking about?
You're talking about meatballs.
Oh, yeah. But the Swedish are kind of well known for their meatballs. Why?
Yeah.
What's special about your meatballs?
I don't know. I actually don't know. I think it's just like a weird way of like handling the meat, probably. Making it into balls. no, but I think it's the combination of the meatballs together with the gravy and the lingonberry jam, or it's sour type of thing, and together with like pressed cucumber that's kind of, it's, you know, pickled and salty, and then you would have the mashed potato to it. So I think it's, when you talk about meatballs, you don't just talk particularly about that, you talk about the dish.
My girlfriend makes really good Swedish meatballs, I gotta say, shout out.
Anyway. She does. Yeah.
All right. Number two, rakmakka.
Pretty good.
What is that?
Shrimp sandwich.
All right.
On the West Coast, there's a lot of shrimp fishing, and it's super tasty during summer. It's one of my favorite spots called Smögen.
Smögen.
Smögen is an area, like a fishing area, and then they fish it all, like, it's all fresh, and then you have this kind of super mild taste. It's like taste, you know, when something, you know, seafood is really fresh, you will have this really light taste. It's not like, oh, this tastes shrimp. But the rak smörgås, or like shrimp sandwich, is... normally like on a white fluffy bread, and then you would have egg, mayonnaise, lemon, and dill. Ooh. And that's something you can buy on cafes when you have like a more advanced, luxurious fika. You could have like a shrimp sandwich and a coffee.
So you can do
sounds
salty.
Like a disgusting combination.
I was gonna say,
so good. Coffee and seafood.
So you can do you can do salty fika.
I don't know why that's funny.
You can do salty fika on Saturday nights when the lights are off.
You salty fika.
Oh, you're such a salty fika.
Number three. Okay. Smulpaj.
That's it.
Smulpaj.
I mean, that's something that everybody does. Mm. It's like such a common thing. It's not a year when I haven't had it. Because it's like berries or something from the garden. Yeah. And you will have the type of juicy rhubarb and a bit of this crunchy, soft type of dough around that wouldn't be compact. Mm.
It's suddenly funny now that it's small pie. It sounds
small pie.
It sounds... so it's dirty.
Find a recipe on Goop.
Exactly. This section brought to you
Gwyneth
by
Gwyneth Paltrow. Smule pie.
After a steamy day, I have some smule pie.
Number four, unpronounceable pea soup and bacon with pancakes. Ertsoppa und pannkakor?
Ertsoppa med pannkakor.
Ah, med pannkakor. Mit, of course. Ertsoppa med pannkakor.
Weirdly Rain Man-y at languages.
No, but if you listen to him, I'm not even close.
Ertsoppa med pannkakor. That's also like a very traditional thing, and I love it. It's
really?
A lot of restaurants in Sweden still serves that every Thursday. You just eat it on Thursdays.
Lunch.
Yeah, so it's a combination of having this pea soup that's with yellow peas, with... a bit of pork in, and you eat it with mustard as well.
Do you want to try this one, genius?
That's you. Definitely. That's you. There's a lot of dots and lines and circles.
Number five, smorgasdata. Nailed this one. Smorgasdata.
Oh, and it's in a way better. You tried the bits. Smörgåstårta.
You work it.
I like smörgåstårta too. It's like a super traditional. It's actually also very common to eat on a funeral.
What is that?
Yeah, it's like a weird kind of food cake with with all kinds of stuff in it. But it's mayonnaise, liver pate, cucumber.
Holy shit.
It's I like it.
I gotta show you some pictures of these things. They're quite incredible.
Oh wow, that's amazing! Holy shit! Yeah. It is literally looks like what the kind of cake you would get at a children's birthday party in Bolivia, except it's covered in dill, cucumbers, little tomatoes, yeah. Lemon.
It looks like a racetrack from Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. It's a heart attack. It's a decorated heart attack.
If we came to Sweden, what is the weirdest thing you could offer us just to see our face?
Food wise.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
You should have seen the look on his face during that pause. It was wonderful.
I mean, we can get to that afterwards.
We're going to get there.
Oh, yeah. I think we would, I think it's just nice, we would go to have like Operans bakficka. The opera has like a traditional place where you go to, which is kind of fancy, but it's a bar where you can't book table. It's really small, but then you can have all these traditional dishes, oh, nice. Which I think is nice.
Number 6, pickled herring. Of course.
Trying the different types of herring is an experience for a lot of people. To have like an odd flavor, that you know, it's like an odd flavor, you know, to experience. And I think for a lot of people, herring, the pickled herring, the traditional one, is that type of flavor actually that is very odd.
Then Johan throws us a surprise dessert. Cheesecake.
One of my favorite Swedish traditional dishes is cheesecake.
No matter where I am, if it's cheesecake.
So we're saying, because what when I hear cheesecake, we're talking about the same cheesecake.
No, we're not talking about the thing like that you eat in, you know, in the States or, you know, this is, it's more like a bit more like a grainy pudding, you know, like it's, and normally it's flavored with bitter almond and you eat it warm together with cloudberry jam and a bit of cream. It's a grown-up taste in a way. It's not for, and it's a lot of kids who might not love it the first time they try it. And then, but it's together with, you know, runny whipped cream and you eat that together. It's super delicious. It's one of my favorite, actually.
Whipped cream indeed. And then, ladies and gentlemen, king of the segue, Andres Bartos.
Since we did whipped cream, I was going to ask about Eurovision.
Oh. Let's ask about Eurovision. Yeah, come on.
Euphoria. Finally, the Eurovision Song Contest.
The first Eurovision Song Contest was held in 1956. The inspiration came from Italy and the Venice and San Remo Song Contest, which was a national smash, but only on the radio.
The idea was to garner numbers simultaneously across as many European television networks as possible, with the emphasis on spectacle. It is now the longest-running annual TV music competition, and it is, kitsch, I guess?
Originally, it was written that contestants must sing in their own language, but that soon disappeared with English sung winners such as Waterloo, Ding A Dong, and Diggy Loo Diggy Lay. Classics.
Nice. Oh my gosh, the classy trash brilliance and awfulness of the Eurovision Song Contest has made sure it achieved the cult following it was destined for. Fringe culture all over the world hosts parties, place bets, and get down to some of the most over-the-top, leather-clad, auto-tuned pop music on Earth.
And it's all a little unbelievable. I mean, for an outsider, which me and Dre both are.
I come from Latin America, so I never experienced... Yeah. When I got here, this whole thing was mystifying to me. I still don't fully understand the joy...
You came from the jungle and you heard some music and you were confused.
Exactly. They taught me how to wear clothes. I came down from a tree.
I feel so much better now. I was getting slagged. I was getting slagged for the first 15 minutes of this. Now it's your turn.
Sweden loves Eurovision.
Yes. It's also like a folks movement almost.
Okay.
So you're going to say religion.
Yeah, it's a religion. I mean, it is a religion. And what's super interesting is that when I was a kid, it was just like one Saturday evening when it was like a competition. It was like 12 songs, some famous artists, and one of them won and, you know, competed in Europe. We have now like 8 Saturday shows where people are like being eliminated, and then we will have the final in the end. So it's like a movement, you know, when where the show is having different competitions before the final in different cities. And yeah, people are obsessed actually, because before, actually, when it had some level of quality, it was actually in the gay community anything you could gather on the Sunday to have like some wine and get drunk and go out partying and watch a show. But less and less people do that actually, because the level is more like children's level today. So I think that's a bit sad.
That is kind of sad. So in 2012, Sweden took back the Euro trophy with Loreen's Euphoria.
I remember the party we had at the friend's place when Loreen won. It was like a super fun night. I mean, it's like a sports night. Everybody's like sitting there, you know, we're having beer and, you know, and then she won. I mean, it was like, that was Euphoria.
Sweden has won the contest 6 times as of 2023, trailing only Ireland in number of wins, with classics like Why Me, What's Another Year, In Your Eyes, and Rock and Roll Kids. Is it any wonder?
So yeah, I have no idea what those songs are either.
Okay, unlike Eurovision, we're going to get the next round done fast.
All right, guys, speed round.
Proverbs and sayings.
These are Swedish proverbs and sayings that Andres is going to nail.
Yep. Ingen ko på isen.
Ingen ko på isen.
That's the one.
Not a cow on the ice.
Exactly.
And what does it
he
mean?
He says very casually.
And I was like,
of course.
That should be fine.
In a way, it's a bit like a reverse, ironic reverse way of saying that no worry,
right.
There's no rush. I haven't heard it since 1965.
Well, that's good.
Being, you know,
that's what we do. We can throw it away.
But I'm going to start to use it now. I'm actually obsessed with using
absolutely
old terms that I haven't heard for a while. So I'm going to use that all the time.
Absolutely. Like I'm trying to bring back the cat's pajamas.
What is that?
Something that's really cool.
It's the dog's bollocks.
Oh
man, the pronunciation on this next one is the cat's pajamas.
Sita med skaglet I brevladan.
Oof, terrible.
That's really hard.
He understood though. That's impressive.
Fastna med skägget I brevlådan.
Whoa,
that was one.
Yeah, get stuck with a beard in the mailbox. It's like you fucked up and you did it yourself, you know, in a way. Yeah, that's also from 1955, so.
Keeping it modern over here at Misinformation. But this next one is really a piece of proverbial genius. Andres?
Finns det hjärtum så finns det stjärterum.
Finns det hjärterum så finns det stjärterum.
Wow.
If there's room for the heart, it's room for the ass.
It's my favorite saying.
That's fantastic.
We're fuck the cat's pajamas. We're going to bring that around global.
That's like when you squeeze in together, you know, if there's a space for the heart, there's a space for the bum as well. You know?
It's so good.
Yeah. So it's not a gay saying. It's just like it's like common Swedish saying.
I love it. Then you would use it at church.
I'm going to say it tomorrow.
And on to one of our favorite sayings we've ever uncovered in the years doing this show. Shame about the delivery. Neil?
Okay, I really like this one. Alska mig mest när jag fortiganar det minst för da benkova jag debast.
It's like something falling down a flight of stairs.
Hey, come on. That's...
Älska mig mest när jag behöver det, när jag förtjänar det som minst, för det är då jag behöver det mest.
That's the
it's
one.
Like, you know, love me the most when you feel that I, you know, like I least deserve it, because that's when I need it the most.
That's so good.
That's about vulnerability and how it's a really old one, because I mean that's how a lot of people react. You know, when you're vulnerable, you can become aggressive, or you can become that type of character trait is hard to love. Give love. When someone has those unlovable character traits.
It's been a tough couple of months, Yuan, and I really love that phrase.
Am I your counselor now?
Yeah. I think we should do this again tomorrow.
Of all the things, you know, the Volvos and the Muppets and all this shit, this was the one moment that there was some real Johan in there. It was nice.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You're old romantic, you.
I'm multi-layered. I can be deep. I can steam. I can...
Excellent.
So there's not a better moment to get into Johan's most recent project.
Margareta Magnusson's best-selling book has recently been taken worldwide with an original Peacock series beginning later this month on April the 27th. A designer, constant mover, and author from Gothenburg, Margareta knows what you should keep and what you should throw away. Her first book tackled that very conundrum. Yuan co-stars in this series, because of course he does.
This is it, guys. Swedish Marie Kondo, The Art of Swedish Death Cleaning.
I think this is something that's been distilled out of Swedish culture, which means that you sort out unnecessary shit that no one needs to see, being bothered about, shouldn't be able to see when you pass away. It's about, you know, taking responsibility of your life, actually here and now.
Now before it's too late kind of situation.
Exactly. But that's the kind of complicated part about it, because it's actually a semantic thing. If you don't death clean, to simplify it, could say that you're a very lazy person, someone who's like doesn't own up to your own life. You know, you accumulate stuff that you never sort out, or it could be like with your economy, your bank accounts are a super mess. You have a company, nothing is sorted, and then suddenly you get cancer and die, and then you're like your spouse is still left there with like have like 4 years to sort everything out before, you know. So death cleaning is about, it's actually like a very vertical way of thinking about your life here and now. And Swedish people are quite good at that, you know, in that sense. I mean, it's a Western society like all, you know, people consume here as well. But it's about actually being a bit more responsible and a bit sorted in your life. Because I'm not going to leave this to my spouse, my children, or anyone behind me. They don't need to see my old porn VHS collection, you know, or something. I can throw that away now. Or my dildos, you know, rare dildos from China, you know, yeah. Auction them out. Or, you know, you just
no one wants granddad's dildos. I mean, that's a bad find.
So keeping your life in order to avoid work, embarrassment, and a lot of heavy lifting for the people left behind, it just sounds like a great idea. And after the last hour of chat, something that immediately feels very, very Swedish indeed.
It's a way of living in the now and be actually very accurate about your possessions and what they mean to you. What is the purpose of your possessions?
Yeah. I think it's beautiful.
Pick up, I mean, after yourself. I've been
literally through this very thing. Yeah. And it is true that it's like, in a way, what you're talking about is something very practical, which is just cleaning your shit up. But on the other hand, it is this dialogue with everybody that's going to stay after you're gone.
Yeah.
And you're participating in that. It's like, it's a deep thing you're talking about. It's not just like cleaning shit. It's also about like, what are you leaving behind? Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
And one thing that actually surprises me, if I mean, just to lift it to another level, that's why rude people always surprises me.
Go on.
Because rudeness is a certain way of translating power to other people. And if you just hear lending things at the moment, and you were just an equation in this structure, why the necessity to be rude?
Wow. Yeah.
I think we've just gotten to Sweden beyond the meatball. we just crossed the threshold.
So, what else did you Google? Hindenburg.
We are well and truly beyond the meatball, thanks to Johan. And we got thinking about the absolute worldview of Sweden, which seems like a remarkably pristine, untarnished, forward-thinking wonderland.
Right, but this is misinformation. So what have we got wrong?
I grew up in Australia. I've been, you know,
I've been around. You've been around, boy.
A little
been
bit.
Around.
I've been touched too much.
It's been around the bubble.
Yeah, you've been touched too much.
Like my mom,
apparently. Yeah.
It's like Bee Gees, they sang, like, too many lovers in a lifetime ain't good for you.
Yeah. I don't know what end of that stick I'm on, but yeah. But the thought that I always get from people about Sweden is that is this, like, perfect, pristine, crisp utopia.
What's the dark side of Sweden?
Just what are the issues that you think people miss, you know?
There's a price for everything, you know. Uh-huh. And I think sometimes what's cut out of the equation here sometimes is joy, in a way, because it's very doing the right thing, being good, you know, work hard, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes I think people are less spontaneous, you know, don't go with their heart immediately.
Johan, do you go with your heart?
Not always. I mean, I'm very Swedish in that sense. I'm very analytic in a sense. I'm very like, I'm also like very double in that sense, you know, because that is the hybrid that is very Swedish in a way. The hybrid of you know, mind and heart. I think that's the side that a lot of people don't see, you know, in a way. But then we get pissed on the weekend.
The Swedish duality.
But life should be a bit more poetic sometimes, mm-hmm. and be a bit more esoteric and philosophical and, you know, grander. And sometimes Sweden actually lack that.
That's really great.
Yeah. It's not just about the pea soup and pancakes. It's who you have it with.
Yes.
Love that conclusion. You are brighter than you look.
I mean, it would be impossible not to be.
So Sweden, a place filled with practicality, beauty, maybe a little too many rules, perhaps too much herring, maybe missing a beat by being a little too uptight, but we certainly didn't get that feeling from Johan.
You may think that the place is all ABBA and Volvo. You may, like me, forget you ever went there. Still sorry about that. You may believe the Swedes are closed and cold beyond their weather. Or, like Anita Ekberg, hotter than the surface of the sun. But that's neither here nor there. What is true is that they are incredibly thoughtful, pensive, and meditative in their art and in their life, and weirdly, in organizing for when they aren't even going to be here.
What are we doing now? We're saying goodbye.
Thank you.
Google showed our way.
Exactly.
Thank you, Gwyneth.
Thank you, Gwyneth, particularly.
Thank you so much for tonight.
Thank no,
you
so Jan, much. It was really nice to meet you, honestly.
Of course.
You'd be great, man.
Hang up now. Hang up now.
It's all joy.
No, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
You hang up.
No, you hang up.
You hang up. No, you hang up.
Have fun.
You hang
much
up.
Love.
Much love.
Thank you.
You hang up.
And of course, Johan, being as put together as only a Swede could be, he immediately sent us his 5 favorite places in Sweden. And here they are.
Number 1, Skurup, a municipality in the south of Sweden where Johan has a summer house tucked away in the groves between the farmers' fields. He recommends you go to Hjortåberga in the summer for a day by the sea. If you need to exercise to unwind, you could book a fitness class at Holga Fitness.
Number 2, Dalaflöde de Värtsus. This small eco-hotel a few hours northwest of Stockholm is in a perfect spot for rafting, skiing, and hiking. This place is 100% organic and totally Swedishly pristine.
Number 3, Fab Lab Shop and Showroom in Stockholm. Johan's shop, where he curates and sells selected brands in the world of home decor, perfume, and skincare. Pop in, and you may meet the man himself.
Number 4, Kaffe. Head to St. Paulsgatan 17 in Stockholm fra fika, the way the locals do it. Good coffee at a price that doesn't feel too Swedish at all.
Number 5. Pizza in Stockholm. Sounds like a Supertramp album, but head to Bananas in Stockholm to experience it for yourself. Don't worry about booking. Just head on in for some delicious slices and great vegetarian options.
So guys, that's it from us this time. Remember, next time, we're off to Mexico with our friend Elena Garcia Beltran. We'll see you soon with more cultural myth-busting on Misinfonation. Huge thanks to Johan. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you think it's a stupid question, well, it probably isn't.
This episode of Misinfonation was written and produced by me, Neil Innes, and Andres Bartos. Huge thanks again to our new Swedish friend, Johan Svensson, for helping us make the show. You can see his work at johansvensson.com and, of course, at FabLab. That's fab-lab.nu. The Circa app is available now at the App Store, a beautifully designed one-stop shop for travel audio, which gives you access to extra information, photos, and maps for the places mentioned in this episode. Plus, all of our Circa guides to places like Rome, London, Barcelona, LA, Paris, New York City, Costa Rica, Hawaii, plus our one-of-a-kind concierge service, which lets you contact local people in those places to help plan your perfect trip. No bots, just people. Our theme music for Misinfonation is by River Deep Mountain Dew. The show is mixed and mastered by Julian Kwasniewski. Stacey Book, Dominic Ferrari, and Avi Gljanski are all way, way into Friday Night Fikas with the lights off. They also executive produced the show, which is hosted by me, Neil Innes, and my friend, the Volvo-loving, meatball-guzzling pop slut himself, Andres Bartos. We'll see you in the next place.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.